Welcome to Vespers, everyone. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using both the red hymnals and a half sheet of paper, both of which are available right near the burning candle there by the entrance. Our homilist this evening is Guy Irwin. And our service will begin with hymn number 792.
God of summer sun and refreshing shade, God who is for us a river of life, be with us this evening as the shadows lengthen and the air is cooled and the busy world is hushed, and renew us again in your life-giving presence. For the sake of Jesus we pray. Amen.
A reading from the letter of James, the fifth chapter. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge, is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. How hard it is, really, to be patient. The ease of modern communication leads us to fret if an email goes unanswered for more than a few hours, or if a text message we've sent gets no response. Once upon a time, we had to write letters, which took days, or we made the once urgent long-distance phone call. To wait in patience now for an answer is hard to do. So we come to Holden to unplug and to remind ourselves that our desires and our lack of patience do not set the pace for human life. And here we surrender ourselves to other slower rhythms, and we rest within a landscape that seems eternal and unchangeable. If one looks away from the mountains of tailings that only 20 years of mining were able to produce. Here we try to give ourselves instead to the rhythms of the Holden day. Mealtimes, prayer, study, rest, and fun. And for those who live here long term, to the longer rhythms of the seasons, as high summer cools to fall and heralds the long, quiet, white winter to come. Within rhythms like that, so set and constant, patience is hardly necessary. The predictability of nature's rhythms is itself a reassurance that what we wait for will come at the expected time. Winter will not decide to come before fall this year. And spring will always come, eventually. The writer of this scripture passage wants to reassure his listeners that God's relationship to humankind fits within the same kind of natural rhythm that makes patience possible, that adds to patience the kind of reassurance that a farmer has, that once the rains have come, the crop will emerge too at the appropriate time, in due season. To everything there is a season, and as the farmer waits for the harvest, we wait for God to bring forth God's harvest in us, in life beyond the short season of human life. But this is precisely the point at which the analogy becomes harder to follow, and the comparison to farming seems to break down. Because the farmer is able to be patient because he or she can and will see the harvest. And it will be a crop of exactly what was planted, arriving at the expected time. There are very few surprises in farming. Driving across eastern Washington to get here, approaching Wenatchee from the south, we passed a lot of fields that had been helpfully labeled so that passing motorists would know what was growing there. And though I am no farm boy, even I can tell a grapevine from a corn stalk and wheat from beans. But it was still somehow comforting to know what all those green fields were going to yield when in due time they are ready for harvest and we are ready for dinner. Such is the patient assurance of the farmer that what has been planted will grow when it receives the rains. But human life doesn't work like that, because the rhythms of our earthly human lives are lived out within a greater divine rhythm that is much harder for us to understand. And we can see that even here in the Holden family gathered tonight. Some here are very young, taking first tentative steps. Others know that they might not have many more summers left to come to Holden. Even more come remembering parents or spouses who loved this place as they do, and though they have now finished their earthly tasks, have left something of themselves behind in this place. Only a week before coming to Holden, I was traveling in Germany with a group of colleagues visiting sites associated with Luther and Lutheran history, something I do every year. And one of the places, the last places we visited before we came home, was the little remote village of Herrenhut in Saxony, a community founded almost 300 years ago by an eccentric but optimistic Christian visionary, Count Zinzendorf, who hoped to create there an egalitarian community of faithful Christians sharing what they had and living together in faithful hope of the Lord's return. Their descendants are still there in Herrenhut today, and the spirit of the founder still pervades the place to some degree. One of the most visible ways this community witnesses to its patient hope in God is in its cemetery, which is on a hill just overlooking the town. And there, members of the community are still being buried, just as the very first one was, in neat rows, in the order of their death, and with the same flat sandstone markers. Men are buried on one side of the path of the God's Acre, as they call it, and women on the other, following their sort of 18th century sense of propriety. In this way, the community makes the point that it is together, and not just as individuals, or even as families, that they await the Lord's return. The final harvest from this field, planted with the earthly bodies of the saints, will happen as a group. So when I saw those labeled fields outside Wenatchee, I couldn't help but think of that labeled field outside of Herrenhut, where the believing community had planted a precious crop of the saints of God and now waits patiently through the early and the late rains of human history for the harvest that our compassionate and merciful God promises us all will ultimately come. But even as here we are humbled by our own relative smallness in the larger rhythm of God's plan, the beauty of this setting at Holden is also reassuring and consoling, simply because it's so much bigger and grander and older than we are. The majesty of the mountains that encircle us here is so great that it draws our eyes upward. It lifts our hearts and spirits, and it points us to the one who is greater than the mountains and older and whose rhythm is imperceptible to us. And we can know that nestled here in the valley, that the smaller rhythm of our lives fits within that greater rhythm of God. Please pray with me. God of compassion and mercy, you point to the suffering of prophets and endurance of farmers as examples of patience. May we too wait patiently for the early and late rains that water the earth and strengthen our hearts. Amen.
Our prayer this evening is a sun setting of Psalm 61. You'll find it on the half sheet of paper. I hope you'll have a copy. We'll sing this together. But before we do, I will pray the psalm. Let us pray. Hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call upon you as my heart grows faint. Set me upon the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. I will dwell in your house forever. I will take refuge under the cover of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have granted me the heritage of those who fear your name. So I will always sing the praise of your name. And day by day, I will fulfill my vows.
Yeah. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.